Hi, everyone. I'm Christy. I'm an addict. Welcome to the workshop on relationships, the joys and the dangers. I do have only one announcement this afternoon. They do need volunteers for the merchandise room. The merchandise is open till 6, so if you want to volunteer, go directly to the merchandise room and let them know you're going to do that. Let's open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We have asked Diana from Miami to come up and read Who is an Addict? Miami!
My name is Diana. I'm an addict. I'm from Miami. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking we're centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We lived to use and used to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death.
Thanks, Diana. We have Jenny from North Carolina to read the NA program. What is the NA program?
Recovering addict called Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
This is what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs had become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There's only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you've done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean. Thanks for allowing me to read.
Thanks, Jenny. At this time, I would like to introduce, Sammy from Naples, Florida, has been asked to read a portion of our literature for us.
Thank you. I'm an addict called Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, from the Sunset Coast area, Naples, Florida. It works, how and why. Step 4. Writing about all our relationships is very important and will want to pay particular attention to our friendships. If we gloss over examining our platonic friendships in favor of focusing on romantic relationships, our inventories will be incomplete. Many of us have come to NA never having had a long-term friendship because of conflicts within ourselves. Those conflicts were the real grounds for the arguments we started with our friends in our ensuing refusal to work through disagreements and to continue the friendship. Some of us felt that we would end up getting hurt in any close friendship, so before that happened, we arranged the end of the friendship ourselves. We may have feared intimacy to such a degree that we never revealed anything about ourselves to our friends. We may have induced guilt in our friends to ensure their loyalty or indulged in other forms of emotional blackmail. If our friends had others in their lives, we may have felt so jealous and insecure that we tried to remove the threat of their friends. Our behaviors ranged from taking our friends hostage to taking them for granted. We may find several instances where we sacrificed our friendships for romantic relationships. We will probably find identical conflicts and behaviors in our romantic relationships. We'll see the same difficulties with trust, refusal to be vulnerable, and perhaps a lifelong pattern of the inability to make commitments. As we write, we'll most likely see fear of intimacy in each relationship or discover that we've never understood the differences between intimacy and sex. Whether we ran from close relationships because of fear or because we had been hurt over and over again, we search out the common threads that will appear in all our relationships. Thanks for allowing me to read.
Thanks, Sammy. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, and this is going to be Kathy R. from California.
Okay, great. My name's Kathy, and I am an addict. Very grateful to be at a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. Especially grateful that I get to be the speaker. This is an overwhelming experience, and yet I've had a whirlwind day where I haven't had much more than a moment to sort of dwell on getting the opportunity to share at this workshop. My husband's sponsor shared at 10 a.m., and my dear friend shared at noon, and one of my amazing sponsees was your main speaker, and then we ran over here. So, but it's all been, you know, a beautiful series of events. Thank you, World Convention Narcotics Anonymous 34, for asking me to share at a workshop. This is an incredible honor. I'm more than humbled, and I hope that I share a message that someone in here can relate to and identify with, and allow them to feel more connected to the program and the fellowship. I'm going to be sharing with Bob today, and he's been a friend of my husband's and has known my husband for a while. So my husband told me I was going to be sharing with this really great, kind, you know, loving man. And you certainly have behaved that way with me so far, so thank you. He let me go first. You know, when we were out there, I wasn't going first. How many here are here for answers to relationships? Sam's on his honeymoon. Now you're looking for answers. Okay, well, that'll be Bob's share. I'll be the questions. I'll be the answers. It's kind of fun and to share on a topic. There are many people in this room that I have relationships with and have had relationships with for a number of years. But, you know, just the idea and the notion of relationships and this joys and dangers, I'm for sure sharing on the dangers. But the idea of relationships, it spans, it's everywhere. You know, it's the relationships that I have with my employment. It's the relationships that I have with the God of my understanding. It's the relationships that I have in the fellowship. It's my friends. It's my, you know, incredible, amazing, adoring husband. It's my children. They get an incredible, amazing, adoring preface too. Sorry. I turned 50 this year, and 50 is the new 40. And now I've got this love-hate relationship with gravity. And that's leading me into what will be a relationship with a plastic surgeon. Maybe not. Because I someone's phone's going off. Quick, answer. You could speak on relationships in so many ways and the intimacy that can develop in a moment. I promised I'd say, is Texas in the house? I was standing in line purchasing merchandise and developed a relationship, started a relationship with a woman named Valerie that was in line from Texas. And you know, that's how, in Narcotics Anonymous, how quickly it can happen. The level of personableness, the level of intimacy, the level of sharing that we get down to as a result of being around here and finding how therapeutic that value is and how amazing someone else's words can be with us, it can happen in a moment when we let it. And so that's just, you know, that's just an example of what takes place. This has been an overwhelming convention for me emotionally. I've had the privilege and benefit to be at about a half a dozen world conventions over the years I've been clean. I got clean July 2nd, 1988. I'm just so grateful, you know, that I have earned my seat here and found my way along these last 23 years. There goes my 50 moment. What was I saying? I really don't remember, but someone out there hopefully does. Huh? Intimacy. And relationships. But So the world conventions and how overwhelming they are. And I have been crying nonstop just because of the joy and what I'm a part of here and what I'm witnessing. And, you know, I am not one of those addicts in this fellowship that talks about the miracle. I don't use that word. I respect and love that you have found whatever word and explanation for what goes on around here for you. But I don't talk about the miracle. I think it's amazing what takes place here. I think that it is by far, you know, not to be compared with anything else that's out there. It is the only place that I have found relief from active addiction. It's the only place that I've been able to make the changes in my life that have allowed me the freedom that I experience today. But for me, for this addict up here, my story is, you know, there was a program that was created, and there's literature that I read and I believe in, and there's suggestions by the members and the people who are in my life, and there's work that I do. There's work that I do to develop the relationships that I have and that I how I participate. So it's truly been a journey. It's truly been this 23-year, for me, this piece of my lifelong journey to get to the place where I feel the richness of the relationships. I'm typically present for them. I have a sponsor. Oh gosh, there's so many things I could tell you. And you know, Bobby's trying to chicken out of sharing. He's like, oh, talk as long as you want. And like I said, he just met me, so he doesn't know what he just, you know, allowed me to do. You know, there's so many things that I want to tell you about in terms of how I attract who's in my life and what's in my life. And, you know, before I got clean, just to share a little bit about you, about me earning my place here, before I got clean, you know, I was just so immature and I was so misinformed and I didn't allow you know, resources and information to come in and help me in any way to better myself. It was what our literature says, you know, finding ways and means to get more. And whatever that was for you, whatever lifestyle choices that was, you know, whatever actions I had to take, whatever role I had to play, whatever sacrifices I made, whatever, you know, road I felt I had to go down. You know, I was extremely immature and misinformed about how to participate in relationships and appreciate what was there for me, and certainly completely incapable of giving you anything but heartache. And I've been married a few times. We'll just leave it at that. I've been married a few times, and quite honestly, I had a couple of marriages before I got into recovery that I treated like seventh grade romances. Okay, I'm going to break up with you now. I had no emotional attachment. I had no investment. There was nothing that I recognized of value because I wasn't putting anything into it, and I didn't have the capacity to see anything that was available for me or to work for anything or to have an appreciation. And I would have these marriages that I would go into as though, well, really, I went into them for whatever I could get out of it. You know, self-centered, self-obsessed way of life that I had to live. And so relationships didn't hold a whole lot of anything for me back then. You had something I wanted or thought I needed, and so I became what I thought you needed or wanted me to become so I could get that something. And that happened in, you know, that resulted in marriages, and it happened in my family, and, you know, it happened, you know, along the course of the way. And then I got introduced to recovery. And, you know, information is a dangerous thing because once you know, you can't not know. And you can't use the ignorance of not knowing, you know, as your reason for being anymore. And information comes our way in recovery, and especially if we really are, you know, in recovery and looking to change and walking into each day of our life with some degree of open-mindedness so that there's something, you know, we have the ability to take that, you know, something in and learn something new. And so who I wanted to have in my life and who I thought I wanted to be was, you know, starting to change. And what used to work for me when I was using, I used from the time I was, you know, about, I don't know, 12, 13, and I got clean at 27. And so I had a fairly, you know, long period of time to have some pain and do some damage and wreak some havoc. And, you know, so it wasn't all about coming into Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, being clean for 30 days and, you know, done. I understand there is no finish line here. There isn't a graduation here. You know, it took me a while to find that out. I'm happy to say that at 23 years clean, I am excited and look forward to what else I get to become around here. You know, there's no end in sight. So coming in here and starting to hear some different things and starting to have that minuscule amount of open-mindedness that it would allow me to have some new information, you know, just started the process for me. And, you know, little by little, relationships started to change. And whether it was that I could trust a little bit more in this next relationship, or that I was just willing to give a little bit more in this next relationship, or I was willing to let you love me a little bit more in this next relationship. You know, it was an evolving process, and the constant that I can tell you is that I stayed present for the process. I didn't dictate the process. I didn't manage the process. Well, certainly I tried to manage the process. But I didn't force the process. I didn't create the process. It had been here for a while before I got here. That one constant was I didn't use no matter what. And I stayed present for the process. So as a result of that, relationships changed, and they held some value for me. And, you know, like I said, it's a process. And when we come in here, we're given some very vital, critical suggestions, and one of them is to get a sponsor. And I was in treatment for 6.5 months, and, you know, that was just my vehicle to Narcotics Anonymous. And I was required to get a sponsor by a particular time frame. And I picked this woman. Oh, gosh. Well, I can't remember her name. Not because she didn't hold any value for me, but the truth is I picked her. This is so great. I picked her because her husband was sponsoring this guy that I wanted to get with. And I'm glad my husband just walked out of the room for a second and just popped back in. Missed that part. So I picked this woman because her husband sponsored this man that I wanted to get with. And I thought, well, if she sponsors me and I'm over at her house, it's likely he's going to be over there at some point. And, you know. And, you know, I'm happy to say I did manage to manipulate that to happen. But that was, you know, me starting out to move through these embark on these new relationships. So, you know, it wasn't all about this perfect process, but, you know, I continued to be willing, and I continued to put one foot in front of the other, and, you know, developing the relationships with a sponsor, developing the relationship with, you know, other members, and starting to feel like, you know, when we change, we don't even know that we're attracting what we're becoming. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but I became more aware of the changes that were taking place in my recovery and what Narcotics Anonymous was doing for my life by who I started to see that was around me. The people of integrity and the people of a caliber that I didn't think I ever deserved to be around or wouldn't give myself credit to think that I could have a relationship with. Or when I had to work my 6 and 7 step, but when I started hearing about character defects, the biggest character defect I had at that time early in recovery was I didn't think I had any character defects. And I was like, whew, I'm not going to have to do a whole lot of work on that step. And gratefully stayed in the process and, you know, continued to find out the benefit of identifying, you know, those defects of character so that I could make room for the spiritual principles. My relationships continued to evolve, and as I immersed myself in recovery and I worked steps and afforded myself the intimacy that's here for us, then I got to change into the kind of person that you wanted to have in your life. And we could have the kind of dynamic that was healthy and enriching and worked for both of us. I mean, you know, I almost hear myself talking about, you know, listen to this perfect little thing. You come into Narcotics Anonymous and you have the opportunity to change, and you change, and everything gets, you know, immensely better. And in the big picture, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happened for this addict. 23 years later, my life is immensely changed and incredibly better, and I never would have given myself credit or imagined where I could have gone as a woman in recovery. But along the way and in between the milestones were the experiences that propelled me into change. And I know that we often talk around here about, you know, sometimes it's the most difficult things with our backs against the wall that promote the change. And many times in my recovery, that is what it's been for me. You know, it has not been this bed of roses. You know, I had a couple years clean, and I met the man I fell in love with. And I met this man, and he was in recovery, and we ended up getting married and have 4 children together. And I thought, you know, this is it. Mr. and Mrs. White, picket fence, N.A. And when you're in it, it is it. When you're in it, that's all there is it. And, you know, life happens. And people make choices, and we have that freedom. And he made a decision to go back to using. And there was a time in my life that I thought, how am I going to go on? I remember, you know, if I say this, I don't mean this. I was not left with 4 children to raise. So if that comes out of my sharing, let me just say, I don't mean that. It might come out as a matter-of-fact way of saying things, but between my husband and I today, we have 6 children, 4 that I brought along. And I'll tell you, on our first date, we were talking about our kids, and he said, oh, well, we all have baggage. And I said, well, I prefer to think of them as accessories. And I married him anyway. But anyway, so you know, this man who chose to go back to using, and I stayed with him for a while. And here's, okay, so, you know, joys of relationships. We find new relationships. We build new relationships. People come in and out of our lives, and if we're open to it, they change us. And to quote that movie with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt, they can make us a better person. And that was happening, you know, certainly for me, you know, and then choices, you know, freedom of choice comes in. And I was with him for 3 years during his relapse. And I took it on like it was my relapse. We can do this. We'll go back to treatment. We'll go to more meetings. We'll get a new sponsor. I'll drive you to the methadone clinic. We can do this. I wanted it more than he did. That experience wasn't without its lessons. And at almost 10 years clean, he left for the last time on Father's Day in June of 98. And I remember laying on my bed, and we had just moved to a new area, and I was 10 years clean, so I wasn't completely freaked out, but I was pretty freaked out. We were in a new area, and I really literally just moved there in February and really didn't know anyone, and laying on my bed thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I have four little kids. At that time, they were 6, 4, 2, and 9, 10 months. And there's the phenomenal power of the God of my understanding, this fellowship, the program, and the faith and trust that I had gained along the way that I couldn't imagine for myself when I was laying in that bed wondering how am I going to do this, that I'm going to be 23 years clean at the World Convention sharing about that process. I mean, there's just no way to know the outcome of this stuff. So God works in my life, and when I let him do what he is there to do, not to do what I'm trying to tell him to do, when I let the God of my understanding do what he is there to do, I am never led astray. I have never been taken down a road based on the guidance of the God of my understanding and dropped on my head or left feeling unloved or left feeling not cared for. It has truly been my experience that for all these years developing that relationship with my higher power has given me the faith that when those things like June's of 98 and your marriage is over and you're left, with four children to care for and be on your own, that you're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. Because I know I'm not the only person in Narcotics Anonymous that experiences these, at the time they're happening, really tragic events. At the time they're happening, how am I going to get myself out of this? And then be able to, like you, sit at a meeting and hear someone else share and find out that there's a solution for anything that I go through. As long as I'm willing to keep doing, the footwork that's required of me. So he left. And I had these four beautiful, amazing children. And it was, I was on my own for a while. And it was overwhelming. And, it's still freaking overwhelming. They're 20, 18, 16, and 14. And I'm like, overthrow. It's still overwhelming. But anyway, it's not without... I don't go through these relationships or have the opportunity to grow in my recovery without these trials, without these really challenging experiences. And, I have a relationship with a sponsor today. I'm just going to share this, and I know she's going to listen to the CD. I've had a sponsor since... I've had a sponsor my whole recovery, but I've had this particular sponsor since July of that same year that my ex-husband left. And I was at a meeting, and she was taking a cake for 16 years, and I was 9 years, I guess she's 7 years clean more than I do. She just celebrated 30 years clean. And I was at a meeting and I heard her share when she took her birthday cake. We take birthday cakes in my area. And I was like, wow. And, you know, I was in the process of finding a new sponsor. And I walked up to her and, you know, I asked her if I could call her. And, you know, I called her and called her again. And I called her again. And I, you know, she wasn't calling me back. And I was like freaking stalking her at this point. And because something happened. I needed her. Something happened, you know. I knew that I needed this relationship in my life. And I finally got a hold of her. And I said, listen, you know, I'm in need of a sponsor. And I've got I can't remember what year it was. It's terrible. But I think I said I have almost 10 years clean. And I have 4 small children. And my husband's been in relapse for the last few years. And he just left. And moving to a new area. But I'm pretty low maintenance. And she said yes, and she's been my sponsor these last 14, 15 years. And that's been a process. That relationship's been a process. Because I have typically throughout my recovery, you know, I've been in the game mostly. You know, I've had a little complacency here and there, and that's scary as hell. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that is scary stuff. Because as soon as I start separating myself from what I hear around here and the message around here and why I'm here, then I start giving myself permission to behave a certain way. Because I'm separating myself from you and I'm no longer accountable to you. And I start giving myself permission to say and do and be things that are not along a spiritual path. And when I start giving myself permission to step over one line, pretty soon I'm crossing the next line, and the next line. And I heard a speaker say this in one of the workshops or meetings that I was in recently about, he says, you know, I don't know about these people that stand up there and say, you know, it's not about using today. And I get that. You know, I got clean in a treatment center, but I am clean every day as a result of Narcotics Anonymous and what happens here. And so, you know, I have, you know, for the most part been active in my recovery and of service in my recovery and present in my recovery. And there was a period of time that my sponsor got very comfortable in her clean time. And I got nervous. And I got nervous that she was pulling away from what I was so passionate about and active in and engaged with. And, you know, you have a home group and you have a commitment and you sponsor other women and you know, all this stuff, you know, that fills my cup. And there was a time, and literally, if she, Bernadette, I adore you, I love you, you are irreplaceable. That is my disclaimer before I say what I want to say next. There was a time when I thought, I may need to get another sponsor. And what I did because of the process of recovery and because of how much I valued that relationship, that relationship that had become so intimate and so special and so important and so meaningful to my growth the years that we had been together. I went to some other women completely away, you know, from her out of respect for her and out of respect for my own process and sitting in meetings. And rather than, you know what, it's time for me to get another sponsor. It was about Kathy, and this is the direction they gave me. I went to women out of state. And they gave me writing to do. And they gave me writing to do that allowed me to come back to me. You missed that hand gesture, Bernadette. It was really good. I went round back to me. The writing was about what was going on with me. Not what's going on with her. What's going on with me? Why am I in this place? Why am I questioning this? What is the importance of this relationship to me? What am I willing to do? What do I need? What are my expectations? You can use that in any relationship. And feel free. But it was happening for me there with her at that time. And these women that helped me allowed me to see the role that I had to start playing and the changes I had to make to allow this relationship to evolve and change to what I needed. And by no surprise, by no coincidence, the relationship changed and grew and became more special and richer. And she, I can tell you that this is a woman who loves. There is no room in my mind for a speck of doubt of how much she loves me. I hope you have that with someone. I hope you have, and if you don't, I hope you find that with someone, that a trust has been built and a bond has been made and a path has been taken together to give you that ability to have so much freedom with someone and experience, you know, just the level of love and intimacy that we can have. I have no idea what's happening here. No, I'm not looking at you, Bob. You'd like me to go till 5:20. Oh, I have 5 minutes and so much to tell you. I hope that the process of recovery continues to turn me into a woman in recovery, that you're attracted to my program, you're attracted to my truth, that you're attracted to how I walk. And someone else I heard was talking about the difference between, you know, us talking a good program and then, you know, walking that program. And so, you know, some of these challenges in life, you know, helped me to become, you know, this woman that, you know, I wouldn't have been able to make a list, you know, your utmost dreams of who you could become. You know, what I've become in recovery wouldn't have, you know, it would have far exceeded that list that I could have come up with off the top of my head. And so the opportunity for the ability to be something more and to offer something more in the relationships that I have around here is ongoing. It's ongoing. I need to share a little bit about the relationship with my children, and in particular one of my children, because it's a real challenge for me right now. I have Dylan, Ryan, Austin, and Sarah, and then I have two stepchildren, Aaron and Stephen. And my Ryan, my 18-and-a-half-year-old, you know, my kids are amazing. They are who they teach me on a daily basis how to be a better person. And in those times when I'm thinking, I can't do this anymore, and I'm lying on, you know, the days of lying on the bed and staring at the ceiling and saying, I don't know how I'm going to go another day. Well, getting up and making lunches and getting kids up for school and getting them dressed and, you know, shooing them out to the school bus or showing up for what, you know, whatever it is, you know, that functionality of our day is a saving grace. And I had to do that for a lot of years after their dad left. But along the way, as my life became more steady and we developed a rhythm, and, you know, we have along the way, you know, discovered that, you know, my son Ryan is one of us, just not in recovery yet. And he's had some real trials, and he's a kid at 18 and a half who's already experienced a lifetime of street pain and, you know, drug abuse. And, man, I got here when I was 27, and I was considered young then. Well, I'm still young, but I find I use the word youthful more than young. That's a sign. But, you know, I have such respect and admiration for the younger folks that are coming in here. But I also have incredible fear about what's going on out there that's ushering them in here so quickly. And so my son is living the life, and, you know, he's choosing the lifestyle. And with everything that I went through with their dad, you know, I learned the lesson that I can't love him enough in here. I can't beg him. I can't bargain with him. I can't do anything but be the example of recovery. And it just breaks my heart. And that's okay. It breaks my heart because I'm an addict and I know what he's going through. And it breaks my heart because I know that as a result of all the lives I'm watching him affect, I know that when I was out there, there were so many lives I was affecting, you know, that I didn't give a rat's ass about. And we're just going to keep praying him in here. He's had a little taste here and there, but he's not ready for it. And we're going to just keep praying him in here. And hopefully he'll make his way. But, you know, the joy of that relationship is I recognize my role there. And I'm going to tell you, I was embarrassed. There was a part of me that was embarrassed that one of my children became an addict, because I thought, I've been clean their whole lives. All they've had is recovering people around them. They never saw a bottle of alcohol in their house. They used to come home from other people's houses. Oh, so-and-so's parents are alcoholics. And I'm like, no, honey, that doesn't mean they're alcoholics. They just can do it, you know, and we can't. And, you know, I thought, how can my children who I've raised in the rooms, you know, but I get it, you know, this wasn't by design. This wasn't because my parents did or didn't do something, or I had or didn't have something. I am an addict, and I'm a grateful recovering addict today, but I'm an addict. I get it. There's no, you know, waking up one day and you know, cured. So we're going to pray him into these rooms. And hopefully that's where his path will take him. But in the meantime, he has to do what he has to do. And I know that he knows who to come to. I know that I have created a dynamic with him in our relationship that he knows I'm the one person that he can trust and go to no matter what. So, I love my life today. My husband is standing at the back of the room. Just walked out of the back of the room. He is, and I know I said this before, but, you know, he is someone that continues. He showed me, I didn't know about this, but on the East Coast, they talk about how big, and please know what I'm saying when I say this, how big is your we? I didn't say. You know, all our steps start with, you know, we, you know, how big, I had never heard that before. And he has enriched my recovery by me reaching out and trying to create, you know, a bigger we for me in my recovery. And we have an amazing marriage. And I know that because of Narcotics Anonymous, I've become the woman I am that attracted someone like him. And he's become the man, as a result of Narcotics Anonymous, that can keep me. I am so grateful to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to share. I hope you take something away from here, you know, that's going to enrich your recovery somehow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, and that would be Bob G. from Florida.
My name is Bob Manatic. You've just heard the future tour speaker of NA. I have a feeling she's going to be heard around. I want to thank the World Convention for allow me to do this. Any time that I can serve is a special thing. And then the second thing that I wanted to think is, what were they thinking when they asked me to do this workshop? I got this email and it asked you if you want to do a workshop at the World Convention. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I just broke up with my girlfriend yesterday. The last 60 days of my life resemble a Jerry Springer episode. So she covered the intimacy. I won't be covering that. I spoke at a World Convention once before, and I don't feel worthy kind of feeling that happens. I was asked to speak at the Atlanta Convention like 9-10 years ago. And they called me and asked me to be on the old-timers panel. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm clean a long time, but not that long. You know, those people that were there with 40 years last night, you know, I'm not that old. And and I started asking, well, maybe it's another Bob. I said, you sure it's not Bob R? You sure it's not Bob B? It's got to be some other Bob. You know, and finally they said, no, it's you. We want you to do this. And, you know, I felt like, okay. But I still didn't feel, you know, at first I just didn't feel worthy. And then, of course, I got this call. And I called the World Service Office again. And I said, are you kidding me? And I literally tried to talk them out of doing this. So, again, I don't feel worthy of it. And I'm not comfortable speaking ever. I love doing service work. So I'm the guy that if you give him a PowerPoint and a projector, I can stand there all day long and talk about anything. But when I have to talk about myself, especially this topic, I just want to turn and run. So I do want to thank the World Convention for allowing me to do this. One other thing I'd like to thank. And I haven't heard it said, but I think it needs to be said. When you walk around these halls and you meet somebody that works at the World Service Office, thank them. Thank them. Because they may get a paycheck, but they work a lot for us. I don't mean it to sound... Again, I'm divorced. The first woman I got together with Sirius after the divorce, I proposed to, and she promptly got up and left 7 days later and then disappeared for a year. And then I started dating the woman that I had dated before my wife and then after my wife. And now we're spending time together to see if we'll maybe try that one again. And I have a stalker. So it's perfect, isn't it? And I'm not making this stuff up. Really. My first real relationship that I got clean was with a sponsor. I got clean in Pennsylvania, and I guess I have to do this now. Yay. I guess I have to do this now because it kind of dates everything. My clean date's August 13th, 1977. I got clean in Pennsylvania when there were maybe 15, 16 meetings. My first sponsor, it was actually the second sponsor. The first sponsor was this guy from AA. I couldn't get out of the treatment center unless you had a sponsor. So I asked the next guy that walked in the door. You know, I wanted out really quick. And this guy, you know, it wasn't a good match from the beginning. He wanted me to jump out of an airplane to get over fear, you know. That didn't work real well. When you get 90 days clean or sober in that particular place, they had you speak at the local AA meeting. And there were six NA meetings a week, and there was one night you couldn't go to an NA meeting. So he had me speak at this AA meeting, and I walked in the door and he said, well, you can't speak about drugs. Can't talk about anybody you knew on drugs. So I proceeded, you know, I really tried for about 3 minutes. And then I explained to the members of Alcoholics Anonymous how to roll a joint and you know, and on and on. And they didn't ask me back. But the guys in the back of the room knew what I was talking about when I said that, you know, I talked all about NA. They walked out of the room and they went upstairs and we started the seventh meeting. And that became the seventh meeting. You know, that meeting's still in the same church, in the same place, the same night, the same place 34 years later. And the relationship that began was with this sponsor, the second sponsor. I went upstairs and after, you know, obviously the addicts left and I was left alone. And so I left right in the middle of, you know, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye. Went upstairs and we started that meeting. And so I said, you know, I don't think I have a sponsor anymore, you know. And so the guy who was chairing the meeting said, he's your sponsor. And that's how I got the second sponsor. And I looked at him and said, this is, you know, it's 1977. Archie Bunker, you know, All in the Family was the show on TV. And I looked over at this guy and he was black. He had a leather jacket from, you know, down to his ankles. He had a car that had a disco ball in it. And... you know, that guy taught me about life. And he taught me about one of the most important things that we, shortcomings that we need to be rid of, and that's prejudice. If there's anything we can get rid of, that's one. I don't know where he's at today, but he saved my life. You know, he taught me about the steps. And got me on my way. And I don't know what happened to him. Don't know where he's at. I hope he's well. So thank you, Jimmy. You know, that was really the beginning of the first relationship that I would have of any value or substance. It took me a long time to develop friends. I used when I was 9. I got clean when I was 19. So I didn't really have a childhood, you know. I was doing things at the age of 15 people were doing at 30 and 40. I had gotten to NA as a result of one of those miracles, I'm sorry. But it was one of those miracles that happened. I had hung myself in a jail cell and the sheet ripped. I fell to the floor and there was a thud. And the guy in the next cell walked in. And he was, now remember, there's 16 meetings in the state. He was on work release going to NA meetings. You know, how does that happen? You know, so that is what I call a miracle. You know, and that was that one point in time that was there. It's God's grace that happened. And that's probably been the second relationship, is a relationship with God. And I didn't, you know, I like many other people, I had the Catholic upbringing, leaving the Catholic school at their discretion. I found that, you know, this fellowship became my life and became everything that I would become. Everything I have today, everything I ever have gotten, everything I've ever will have, comes as a result of this fellowship, comes as a result of this program. I did nothing to deserve to be here. I was here by God's grace. The amount of friends that I have are amazing. I can't walk down the hall here and go 100 feet without somebody I know. And that's from every place and every corner on this planet. The very first person I met, I went into a treatment center, and it was one of those old-style treatment centers. They call them therapeutic community types. Although they had the 12 steps, they just called each other names. You know, anybody who knows what I'm talking about. And the first guy I met was the cook, you know, and he started in on me. And, you know, remember, it's I was, you know, detoxing. You know, I date how I got when I got clean is I was in detox when Elvis died. And so I was totally like out of it at this point. And the cook's talking to me. Well, that guy has been a friend for 34 years. You know, he calls me every single year on my anniversary. Every single year he's been doing it for 34 years. Those are relationships. It may not be a love relationship, but it's a relationship that's lasted, you know. And that's something I thought I'd never have. My sponsor today, I've known from when he spoke at the treatment center when I had 3 days in the treatment center. And it hasn't been my sponsor the whole time, but we've been friends for that period of time. That's almost 34 years. I went to my first meeting. The guy in the first meeting, he's here. He's still here. He has 35 years. Everywhere I go, there's a group of people that have been there at 35 years, at 34 years, at 30, you know, on and on, that have just developed over. And I have a network like we all do. We all do. But, you know, being around here 34 years, you get to see a lot of things. And you get to experience a lot of people and heartache and pain. I think one of the worst times in my recovery was during the era when people died of AIDS. It was one after another after another. I remember this one time, a woman died. She was probably the first person, maybe in NA, all of NA, that died from AIDS. And her name was Gina. She was in the basic text. Her story was there, the old version. And, you know, when she passed, her parents sent her ashes back down to Florida because she knew that that's what she loved. And I know this sounds like a little corny story, but it was one of those stories that just, you know, I remember. We went out to spread her ashes on the beach at the nude beach. It's where she liked hanging out, like I said. So we went out in the water and poured the ashes out and let it float off. And I got it sounds like something corny, but and I know it was probably just the birds, but all these birds hovered over that and sat there until the sun set. And they like all took off at once. You know, and to me, that was the spirit moving. Another relationship, and this is something I'm like a humble person. I know I'm a humble person, so I could admit that. So there's some things that I've done in my recovery that were somewhat important and somewhat valuable that not everybody needs to know, but I felt that, you know, I'll share something here that maybe I hadn't shared elsewhere. I was involved in writing the basic text the first time. I was one of many and one of hundreds. I wrote one line. It had to do with a girl. You know, the girlfriend I hadn't dated in 81, got caught up in this whole cult, this meditation cult. I mean, they literally would walk in a row like little ducklings behind the guy. And everybody that was in that group was from NA, and they all went out, they all used. And so I wrote this little thing about getting caught up in, at the time, spiritual, like religious zeal. And it was in, put in there for that reason, because of what happened with them. And no big deal, I just never thought of it again. And then 2002, I got a phone call and asked me to come to a meeting on Friday night. And I said, why? Because it was a meeting I never go to. It was one of those other meetings, the other A. And so I went to the meeting, and it was her speaking. And she sat and quoted that line that I wrote for her. She never knew. So, you know, amazing, the miracle happens. I'm sorry. Amazing. It was amazing. I mean, the hair stood up on my arms, you know, because it just showed me the power of what things happen around here. It's not that I did anything. It's that God did that. I look down because I do have these notes. I do have brain damage. And I really do have memory problems. I forgot that I had this. Now, I mentioned I was married and divorced. And she's also in recovery. In fact, she spoke yesterday here. And she has 31 years clean. You know, and I met her in a mental institution at an NA meeting. Immediately fell in love. Actually, she wasn't in the institution. We were both going to the NA meeting. And actually, for 5 years, I tried to ask her out, and she said no every time. And finally, she caved in. And we remained... Oops. Somebody did that on purpose. I wanted to see if that would happen. They did. And it is somebody that did it on purpose. All right. It's the X, yeah. Are you here, by the way? You know, and we get along really well. She's a hairdresser. She cuts my hair, so if I let her use sharp instruments around me. And we're still friends. You know, even married 18 years, so... It wasn't like I was a total failure at this marriage thing. It just was time to move on. And, you know, I heard, I forget her name that spoke the other night about, you know, when divorce happens, people split up and people take sides and all that. And that never happened, at least not from us. It might have happened from the people around us. You know, and we speak at meetings, and I'm talking about her now, but I don't sit here and talk about that whole thing, and she doesn't talk about that whole thing, and, you know, because it's not your whole thing, you know, it's our thing, and it's a good thing, because, you know, we're still friends, and I can say that for many of the women that I've been with, and I'm sorry if you're in the room, any of you? Actually, I know a few of you are in the room. As long as the stalker's not in the room, I'm okay. You know, I wanted to say I had so many friends. And I talked about that HIV thing. The other guy that died was my best friend. And he was another thing that taught me about prejudice again. He was a gay man who was a doctor, and And he taught me a lot about life and about love and about caring for someone else. And have a gay man as a best friend actually is pretty cool. I miss him still. And he was really a trusted servant of this fellowship. I mean, he did every H&I meeting that existed, I think, at the time. You know, so other relationship, you know, and then I talked about having this, the relationship with someone from the past, and then I've had a 3-year relationship that ended like the day before they asked me to do this. And it was one of those new media experiences, you know, Match.com. Oh, anybody tried that one? Oh, that was, oh yeah, I heard oh yeah over there. Yeah, but we ended up together for 3 years. And that was a good experience, although it did end like a Jerry Springer show. One of the, probably the single most valuable experience I had or relationship that I had as part of that was with her son. He's autistic. And anybody knows anything about autism? It's a terrible disease. It's a disease where it's hard to communicate, it's hard to touch, it's hard to feel, it's hard to, or even hard to eat in front of people. There's a whole spectrum of things that go on. I went to support groups. I went to, I did a lot of different things. Read a lot of books and talked to a lot of people. And, you know, 3 years of trying to get this connection, it just wasn't working. And finally, this year, I was able to do this with him. I know it's not a big deal, but it was. You know, and then I threw him this big birthday party. And kids like that don't have a lot of friends. You know, so you make a big deal over the birthdays. You make a big deal over the Christmas things. And it was the first time he ate in front of me, you know. And that was a big deal. You know, and since this relationship ended, the one thing that he keeps saying to my ex is that, where's Bob? So I guess it did happen. I'm sorry. Okay, enough of that. I'll go back to the funny stuff. But the other relationships that I have from service, you know. Sponsoring people, I sponsor guys that have lives. And what I mean by that is they have children, they have jobs, they have responsibilities, they're going to college, they're going to law school. They're doing everything that it takes to become a responsible, productive member of this society beyond just going to these meetings and becoming and recovering. They've gone out and achieved out there. So I don't tell them, and I'm probably, here I am, I'm a old-time service person, and I'm the delegate, regional delegate for my region. You know, I don't tell any of them to do anything service-wise other than their home group, which is probably kind of odd. My best friends, though, are involved in service and have been. I was involved in this work group, and it's involved people from all over the world. And it's become like almost like a club, you know, a tight friendship with 15 people you spend 4 years with. And that's an amazing thing, the relationship that develops there. And I have literally this convention, it's amazing because of people I've been involved with in service from all over the world. And I, you know, sometimes I don't even speak the language, you know, of where I've been around people that I've been around. But you know, and it doesn't matter if you speak the language, you speak the language. You know, it's the same language. You just may not understand it, but you understand it. God, I love this thing. You know, I'm not going to go on. I think I've said what I needed to say. You know, the thing that we learned from the thing we learned in Narcotics Anonymous is two things. One thing is to stay clean one day at a time. And the other thing we learn is to love one another. And that's what this whole thing is about, is loving one another. You know, building relationships is pretty simple. You communicate, be able to communicate with one another. You know, that old sign that's around the railroad track, stop, look, and listen. You know, it's to sit down, look at you in the eye, and listen to you. And that's how you build relationships. And that's how I built friendships. You know, it amazes me. She's not ever going to speak to me again. The miracle happened. You go, girl. It amazes me that I have probably 1,000 names in my BlackBerry, and I actually know those 1,000 people. You know, I mean, it really is. You know, and I go through it sometimes and just call people just because I haven't talked to them in a while. And you know, some people I haven't talked to in 3 years, and I'll click through and call them and just see how they're doing. You know, the Facebook, another topic, but you know, the relationships I've built from Facebook, not behind Facebook, but from Facebook, have been an amazing thing. I met a guy who, I told you I was involved with that basic text thing, and he and I were the two people that edited this one chapter, and we sat there and argued. And I hadn't seen him since 1981, you know, and I met him 2 weeks ago for lunch, and that was strictly because of that. And I don't think that's that big a deal, but it's those are relationships, again, that have lasted 30 years, or at least have been rekindled after 30 years. So I really like that new media kind of connection with, and it may not be the kind of touch and feel that we're used to, but it still is a way to communicate. It's a way that I'm able to communicate with people in Iceland and Sweden and Australia and all over the world, because it's not like I can just go see them, you know. So you know, I do love that part of new media. So I don't have much else to say. A friend of mine, Craig, always does this little thing and touches his heart and points to someone to tell him they love him. So thank you.
Let's thank both Bob and Kathy again for sharing. Good job, both of you guys. Thank you.